and verse number 11 is where we'll begin. John chapter 10, verse 11. And notice what the Bible says. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. Seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and knoweth my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, Jesus says, John 18, chapter 10. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings that you've given to us. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to gather together in your name, to worship you in song, to worship you in giving, to worship you in our response to your word. And we're grateful for its power and authority in our lives. And I pray, Lord, if there's an individual here this morning that may be confused about their eternal destiny, I pray that today that they would put their faith and trust in you. May your Spirit direct us and guide us into truth. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified with our response this morning. I pray that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray your word would fall on good ground, that it would grow in our hearts and in our lives. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing our series this morning on the I Am declarations of Jesus. These declarations are truths about who God is and his work in our life. He is the bread of life, the Bible says, that is broken for the world and distributed, and it's available to all, but we must partake, we must eat and drink, Jesus says. He is the true vine. He is the theme of the Christian life. He is our power source. Our life is lived through him. Without him, Jesus said, you can do nothing. In John 9, we are introduced to a man who's born blind. Jesus heals this man in such an ordinary way. He spits on the ground. He makes some clay. He puts that clay on the man's eyes. And then he goes and tells him, go wash in a pool called Siloam. The interpretation is clear. This pool called Siloam is interpreted as the sent one or the sent, and Jesus is indeed the sent one. He is the answer to our spiritual darkness, our spiritual blindness. He is the light of the world, he declares to us. The man who was once blind is thrown out of the Jewish synagogue, and he was a witness of Christ's power and Christ's purposes. And the Bible says that Jesus comes to this man at the end of chapter 9, and he declares to this man to be the Son of God, the Messiah. And the Bible says this man believes. And then Jesus illustrates that he is the door to the sheepfold. He illustrates that man-made religion is separate from a relationship with God. And though he was thrown out of the religion of the day, though he was thrown out of the Jewish synagogue, that he could have indeed a relationship with God because he has walked through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. God is the ordained way or door for one to be right with God. And we notice another declaration of Jesus. It's aligning with our context of John chapter 9. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, this is in contrast to the worldly shepherds as illustrated by false teachers in Jesus' day. And there is much given in the Bible as Jesus, God is our shepherd. He is our guide in our life. Psalm 23 so beautifully illustrates the Christian life, and it speaks of the fact that the Lord personally cares for his sheep. And Isaiah 40 in verse 11, it tells us that God guides his sheep and carries his sheep. And Luke chapter 15 in verses 4 and 6, it tells us that the Lord had left the 99 for that one sheep, that he seeks for wandering souls. And Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 25 that God is the shepherd of our soul, and he leads us into eternal peace. Jesus is our shepherd. He's our good shepherd. And I want us to notice our text here this morning as we build out these truths. Number one, if you're taking notes, would you write it down? The Lord's provision in verse 11. Let me read it again. John 10 verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus provides like no other shepherd can. He gives to us his very life, his very life. You know, if our greatest need in our world was information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need in this life was technology or information, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need would have been money, God would have sent to us an economist. If our greatest need in this life was just pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But you see, our greatest need in this life is forgiveness. And God sent us a Savior to take our place. Can we turn in our Bible to the book of Romans in the 8th chapter together? Romans chapter 8. And notice what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 8. And the 30th verse, Romans chapter 8, verse number 30. The Bible says in verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now remember, the predestination here in this verse is speaking of the product, not the person. The purposes of God is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And in verse 29, we are predestined to be conformed to that image. This is God's purposes for those who come to Jesus in salvation. It says in verse number 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Notice the extent of God's favor toward the sinner. Notice what God has done in verse 32. It says, he that spared not his own son, notice this expression, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's Jesus who tells Nicodemus in John 3, for God so loved the world that he, say it with me, gave his only begotten son. Paul says in the book of Romans that God delivered up his only begotten son. Now, don't miss this important truth this morning. Not only did God give his only begotten son, but also Jesus gave his life. Not only did God give his only begotten son, but Jesus willingly gave his life. He willingly became our sacrifice. I heard the story of a little girl in California in 2017. I don't know if you've read this story a while back, but it was a little girl who was playing with two other little girls in a driveway, and a car began to roll backwards in that driveway. And this little girl, she ran and she pushed those two little girls out of harm's way. And unfortunately, the car rolled over her and she lost her life. In the news article that I read, a sad story indeed, and she is heralded as a real-life hero. She, the article says, gave up herself to save those two young girls. And I want to remind you this morning that Jesus willingly gave of himself to save your soul. He is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth of his life for the sheep. I think of his loving sacrifice. Can we turn to Romans once again in the 5th chapter, the verse 8, Romans 5 and verse number 8. And look what the Bible says, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He lovingly commended, demonstrated his love. While we were enemies, sinners, he gave himself so that we could have eternal life. Can we go to the book of Galatians in the 2nd chapter, Galatians chapter 2, and notice what the Bible says in verse 20 as Paul defines the Christian life. But notice how we got to this place. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 in our Bibles. Galatians 2 and verse number 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Look at this. Who loved me and gave himself for me. A loving sacrifice that Jesus willingly gave himself for us. Marriage is a sacred institution. And it is a picture of Christ's love. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, notice this, and gave himself for it. The Bible teaches us it's a loving sacrifice. But also I want to remind you that it is a lasting substitution. He stands in our place. He absorbs the very penalty of our sin. And this sacrifice is capable, it is able to save to the uttermost. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Titus, Paul reminds us in Titus 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Did you catch that? He gave of himself. His sacrifice was enough. His sacrifice was able. In the book of Hebrews, it reminds us how sacrifices in the Old Testament were given year after year after year after year. And the priest would come and he would offer a sacrifice. In Hebrews, the writer reminds us that these sacrifices didn't have the ability to take away sins. They were not capable of taking away sins. And yet the writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 10, verse 12, it says, but this man, and that man, by the way, is Jesus, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins ever, sat down on the right hand of God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, it reminds us that Christ died once for all. It's not limited but lasting. It's able to save to the uttermost. Hebrews 9 verse 26 says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He has put away sin. It is able to save. In John 19, 30, it says that it is finished. Jesus declared, to which Peter says in chapter 3 of in verse 18 of 1 Peter, he reminds us that Christ suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust. His sacrifice was enough. When people will often explain to me their theology of salvation, and from time to time, they'll involve works into that theology. And they'll say something like this: well, yeah, I believe that we trust in Jesus, but I also believe you have to be baptized, or I also believe you have to be a good person, or I also believe that you must do this, or you must do that, and you must do this. And any time we add to our salvation, what we are saying is that the sacrifice of Jesus was not enough. It was not able to save me. I have to do something else. But the Bible is very clear that the death of Christ was enough. And a sacrifice is able to save and to wash your sins away. I see the shepherd's provision. Can we notice also the shepherd's protection? And verse number 12, I love this. The Bible says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, see if the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Consider again these false shepherds who are not willing to sacrifice, who are not willing to care truly for the sheep. Those who do not care deeply for the sheep, Jesus says here they are a hireling. It's someone paid to watch the sheep, but have no real love or ownership or no real investment in them. And Jesus illustrates this wonderful. Here is someone who's watching a man's sheep, and here comes a wolf or here comes another animal. And what happens to this hired person to watch the sheep? He gets out of there. I mean, there's no investment there. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to fight a bear. I didn't sign up to fight a wolf. No, I don't have any investment in this. And really, it's all personal gain. But Jesus, as the good shepherd, the difference is love. He loves the sheep. I read in the Bible of two women who came before King Solomon. You know the story. Both of these women claimed to be the mother of the same baby. And each insisted that this is my son. But there was no way really to tell who was the true mother of this boy. And so Solomon, in his God-given wisdom, called for a sword, and he gave this sobering, shocking order. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take this sword, and I want you to cut the living child in two, and I want you to give one half to one mother and one half to the other mother. And at once, the true mother's heart was revealed. She was overcome with love and compassion. And this is what she said. She says, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and in no way slay it. Do you know what the other woman said? She said, let it be neither mine or thine, divided. What was the difference? The difference was love. And the Bible says that Jesus, as the good shepherd, loves his sheep. Jesus, as the good shepherd, is willing to give up his life to save the sheep. And we notice the contrast here with the hireling. The Bible says here that the hired one runs, he flees. These false shepherds care more about themselves than the sheep. They care more about their own agenda than the sheep. Even false religion today as a system can be more concerned about the religion and the establishment than the souls of people. Jesus made it clear to the Pharisees in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. He says, no, listen, the Sabbath was created to help the Jews, to help people, not to burden them. Why? Because God cares about people. He cares about you today. He loves you today. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. God cares about the souls of people. And God help us as pastors, as under shepherds. God help us to protect the heritage of God and never forget God's purposes in our life, to love and care about God's people. God's people. We are to lift up the cross. We are to preach the Lord Jesus. We are to stand for truth. We are to care about people. I see the good shepherd, his courage in the face of danger. Jesus willingly faces the wolf. And I think there's great illustration here of the false teachers that give in to falsehood and false living and false truths. But I think also it's important to understand that Jesus, as the good shepherd, he stood against the devil. He stood against sin. He stood against death itself. He's the good shepherd who giveth his life and defendeth the sheep. I see, thirdly, the shepherd's personal care. Can we notice it together in verse 14? I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ doesn't deal with his sheep as a crowd or a group, but as an individual. The Bible says he knows them personally. What a blessing. Think about his friendship with the sheep. He says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. The good shepherd knows your weaknesses today. He knows your personality. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows your heart. Oftentimes people will come to me after a message and I'll preach maybe on a specific topic and they'll say something like, how did you know? How did you know I was facing that? How did you know I was struggling with that? How did you know that I had struggles in that area of my life? And I will say to them always, I didn't know. But the good shepherd does. And he guides us into truth. He leads us and understands us. And so we notice his friendship. We notice his fellowship in verse number 15. Notice the closeness of this fellowship as we notice the word as there in verse 15. My fellowship and friendship with my sheep, my closeness and my unity with my sheep. Look at this. It's as the Father knoweth me and I know the Father. That's great closeness. That's an intimate fellowship that Jesus has with his sheep today as we walk with him and through his power. And David understood this truth, written many years before John penned John chapter 10. David understood the closeness that the shepherd had with him. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. John says he's our good shepherd. He maketh me to lie down. You know, for so many years, I thought that expression was an act of chastening or chastisement, that God would make us lie down. But do you understand that sheep don't lie down? In order for sheep to lie down, there has to be a peaceful environment. There has to be absolute tranquility for a sheep to trust its environment and everything around it. For a sheep to lie down, there has to be a lot of peace around it. And the Bible says that the good shepherd makes us lie down because we find security and comfort with him. And he leads us and he feeds us, David said. He restores my broken soul. He leads me in the pathway of his purposes for his good pleasure. And it's a pathway of righteousness. Life is filled with hurts. Life is filled with sorrows. And eventually even death. But David said, no, my good shepherd is with me the whole way. And I will fear no evil. He blesses me, protects me, calls me, guides me. His goodness and grace will always be there. And he says, hey, and one day I'm going to dwell with him forever. What a wonderful relationship and connection we have with the good shepherd. What incredible fellowship, closeness we have with the good shepherd. I see the shepherd's provision, protection, personal care. Can we notice, fifthly, the shepherd's pursuit in verse number 16? He says in verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The good shepherd actively seeks the wandering and unreached. And we notice in our text here, first of all, this indeed is a global flock. It refers to the inclusion, Jesus is referring to the inclusion of the Gentiles and a vision for the world, that the gospel would go to the uttermost of the world and Gentiles would come to know Christ as their Savior. And Jesus said, not only am I talking about this flock within the Jews, but no, other sheep I must bring. I'm glad for that. We're here this morning because of that truth. Can we turn to Acts chapter 10 in our Bibles? Acts chapter 10. And look what the Bible says in verse number 34. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Consider this idea of other sheep this morning. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, it took Peter a while to get to this conclusion. God had to do a lot of work in Peter's heart for him to realize that the gospel was not just for the Jews, but for the world. And he says in verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Other sheep is the message here. Other sheep. It's a global flock, but it's also, we notice, a gospel call. He says, them also I must bring. It is an invitation to the world to hear the truth, the gospel, and to come to him. You know, if you want to really know the heart of God, then go to the very last message that God has for the world. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, this is what God says. Let's turn there. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. If you want to know the heart of God, then notice his last invitation. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So in the bringing that Jesus provides is this idea of coming. Come to him, and he must bring. Come to him, and he must bring. And there will be one flock, the Bible says. Those who are in Christ is that flock. And the Bible says, Jesus will be the shepherd of all of the sheep. I hope this morning that you're born again. I hope that you're in Christ. I hope that you're a part of that fold. I hope that the Lord is your good shepherd today. He wants to be. He died for you so that you could have eternal life, but we're not done yet. I want us to notice, fifthly, the shepherd's power. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 17. It says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Notice some thoughts. First of all, his sovereign authority. He willingly gave his life. No one took his life. Jesus was not a murderer. Jesus was not murdered. He willingly gave of his life. His death was not unexpected. He didn't die even as a witness of the truth. Jesus died as the truth. He was a sacrifice. Of all the people that were nailed to a Roman cross, and over the course of history, there has been thousands of people that were nailed to a Roman cross. You know, Jesus was the only one who didn't fight back. The only one that didn't fight back. Because he said, you don't take my life. I willingly give it as an offering for all of humanity. Let's look at some verses. Isaiah 53 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2:23 that he was reviled, but he reviled not again. He willingly gave of himself. They didn't take my life. He says, I willingly gave it. And so we notice in our scripture here his sovereign authority, but also notice this supreme victory. Jesus said, I have been given the power or the authority to lay down my life, but I also have the authority to take it up again. You see, the good shepherd would give his life, but the good shepherd would live again. And he would die for the sheep, but he would be resurrected on the third day. And don't miss this, because he died for the sheep, but he will live for the sheep. Hebrews chapter 7, can we turn there in our Bibles? Hebrews the 7th chapter, and look what the Bible says. Hebrews 7 verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. There's that invitation there to come. And the Bible says, if you come, he can save you. And then the Bible says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, the good shepherd died, but the good shepherd lives, and he lives to make intercession for the sheep and to empower us and to guide us and to direct us. Jesus is the shepherd, but he is the good shepherd. He provides, protects, he cares, he pursues, and he empowers his sheep. Do you know the good shepherd today? Or better, a better question would be, does he know you? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Do you know today you'd go to heaven? And if you're a Christian this morning, are you following him? He loves you. He cares about you. Would you trust in him today? The good shepherd. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings and the opportunity that we have to be able to look to you. And Lord, I pray if there's an individual here that is not a Christian, Lord, maybe they have doubts about it. Maybe they're confused about it. Lord, you know their heart. You know their struggles. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in their lives, that they would humble themselves and come to you. Lord, I pray you would help us as believers to understand the significance of your shepherding in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to take it for granted. We're grateful for your love, Lord. I pray you would help us to love you even more. And Lord, I pray you would help us this morning to make good decisions. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books together.